We are so grateful. We have you, we have everything. Thank you. You are faithfulness, your word, your spirit. Thank you for the anchor. We bring into our soul an anchor that never fails, that never goes through. Thank you for your word tonight. We pray with the simplicity. Now your spirit will come more. We won't be the reality of the world. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' precious name. This is like a companion teacher to what believers need to do on Sunday. That no service is the same. So, these four services will continue this month, next month, August. And as he stayed with us, dedicated to the beat of the story. That's like that way, faith believers can do this story. And then I will have the old ways with us. Okay, somebody was asking, he said, people are always asking that question. Ask, what's the difference between believers and Holy Ghost meeting? And I've tried to explain that more than once to us, because a lot of people believe they are the same. They are the same in terms of in the same set of people, same believers. When it comes to a believers meeting, everybody has to minister and to receive ministry. Everybody prepares to minister and to receive ministry when it comes to believers meeting. When it comes to a Holy Ghost meeting, the family people who minister are ministry gifts. Now, does that mean we don't receive ministry from saints? No, we receive ministry from saints also, as led by the Spirit. That's why in the Holy Ghost meeting, we can have a prayer meeting. In the Holy Ghost meeting, we can have a gain of that service. Okay? In the Holy Ghost meeting, we can have a rejoicing session. So, Holy Ghost simply means as the Spirit guides, instructs, and directs. But in a believer's meeting, every saint prepares to minister and to receive what? Ministry. That's the difference. And that's why we say to ourselves that we should get up and go minister to people after we're hot. That's a believer's meeting. So, all right, Acts chapter 2. I'm going to jump straight into the middle of a thought as we continue looking at God's word along the lines of the utterance in the resurrection. All right, Acts chapter 2. And I read from verse 23. Oh, this Jesus, verse 22, has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Wherefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Okay? Can you see that? Now, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Notice the emphasis on the things you can see and you can hear. What were the things that they saw and heard? Go back to it. A few verses before, I'm going to read from verse 4, Acts 2, verse 4, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak what? Other thoughts, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Verse 12, and they were all amazed, and without saying what to another, what meaneth this? Others talking said, these men are full of new wine. Verse 14, for Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, it is known unto you, and acting to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, since for the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So notice, Peter is explaining the tongues which they began with, the interpretation which followed, the activity that followed the interpretation, as a prophecy fulfilled. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So whatever Peter is explaining is to explain things that they will see and things that they will hear. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 23, this Jesus, being by the right hand of God, and having received the Father of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. He has shed forth this. Now the question I want to say here, what is the word shed forth? Because that word was used twice in this passage. It wasn't used as shed forth when it was used in the previous verse. It was called shed forth in verse 23. Notice what he said. This Jesus has got the grace of 32. Therefore, he being by the right hand of God exalted, the minute you look at the language of Luke, you are looking at a narrative. Don't forget. A narrative requires explanation. Who is Peter talking to? Jews. the Jews understood the language of prophecy. This Jesus, by the right hand of God, exalted. So the Jew knew the right hand doesn't mean there's a left hand. Right hand means absolute authority. So it's like saying, when Jesus said, when he rose from the dead, the magic came and says, all authority and power is given unto me. What did Jesus mean? It means I'm by the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. So he being by the right hand of God exalted, so it means he's not just restored. That resurrection means all authority and power that is recorded resides now in him. How do you know he resides? He being by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth peace. How? Having received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 3. Therefore being, so something was prophesied. What was prophesied has now been fulfilled. How was it fulfilled? He being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received. So when you're reading the word hand, you are explaining the previous part. That is, having received. That is, what does it mean to be at the right hand of God exalted? It means we have received whatever the right hand of God represents by the resurrection of Jesus. Are you following? Let me say it again. He being by the right hand of God exalted, and the word hand is an introduction, it's an explanation. So he being by the right hand of God exalted, and we have received, because Jesus is not the one who received. Jesus is the one at the right hand so that we can receive. Jesus is not the one that receives, because Jesus is the one who gives the Spirit. Are you following? No. Again, it's a sentence construction. Jesus is the one who gives the Spirit. Jesus doesn't receive Spirit. He gives the Spirit. Remember, John chapter 7. Look at John chapter 7. And verse 37. John 7, verse 7. See what it says. Look at that separately. Let's look at it again. John 7, verse 7. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and Christ said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The minute you see that language, if he does, come to me and drink. And Jesus was standing. It was that day of the feast. Jesus is interpreting scriptures. He's explaining what scriptures represent. He's using prophetic language. Because when Jesus is saying, if any man doesn't come to me, he's not talking about the water. He's not a fountain of natural water. He's a fountain of living waters. Or out of what he will accomplish, living waters will flow forth to humanity. So when he says, if any man doesn't come unto me and drink, look at the next verse. For as the scripture has said, let's verse please. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, that is the conclusion of all the scriptures, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. I remember in the earlier days, people used to claim, out of my belly flows river. Many of us had that confession. That day, out of my belly, out of my belly. Well, it is not out of your belly, it's out of the desire's belly. The belly refers to the desire, his work. What he will accomplish in his resurrection. So you can see, in his resurrection, we flow rivers of what? Life-giving water. Life-giving water. Rivers of living water. Living water means life-giving water. So if it's life-giving water, it can't be water. Water always speaks about a birth, a regeneration. That's why water is used to. So out of his belly or out of his resurrection, we flow. Then he always speaks about the womb of something. What something gives back to you. That's what then he always speaks about. So it says, out of his belly or out of his resurrection shall flow rivers of living water. Look at the next verse. Then he says, but this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. The word receive means lambano. They would lay hold on a reality that was brought to pass by another reality. Let me say it again. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said. So the scripture said something that will happen. That those that believe on him, they will receive rivers of living water or life-giving water. Now, the same scripture we are reading in Acts chapter 2 is the same scripture that's being explained by Jesus here, but from different perspectives. So Jesus is explaining, what did the prophet say? The prophet summarized all their prophecies by saying, out of his belly, what is his belly? His resurrection will flow rivers of living water. That's how he said it. This speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe on him, when will they believe on him? They will believe when he rises from the dead. Hallelujah. So, in his resurrection, which is his belly, if they are believing, what he has accomplished by his resurrection will make available the supply of the Spirit. How else did he say it? Look at John chapter 14, and verse 16. See what he says. He's saying the same thing. Repetition establishes truth. John 14, 16. See what he says. And I will pray the Father. So, again, notice I will pray the Father. The word pray actually means not to make a demand. It's not to pray, to do that to pray. I will pray the Father means I will fulfill some conditions. I will fulfill an obligation. That obligation will enable the Father to do something. Let me say that. So there is something the Father has said he will do. What the Father said he will do, he said it with me in mind. I will fulfill that condition, that obligation. That's what it means by I will pray the Father. Notice, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Who is the comforter that will abide with you forever? Rivers of living water, which speak ye of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say the Spirit is a forever reality in me today. Say the Spirit is a forever reality in the believer today. You are not a believer if you don't have the Spirit. The status of being a son, being a believer, is to have the Spirit. It's not the other way around. So being a believer means you have the Spirit. Having the Spirit means you're a believer. It is the Spirit that makes you a believer. So the Spirit, what does it mean to be a believer? To believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. So what do you receive as a sign to prove that you know that God raised him? You receive the Spirit. What is the Spirit? Rivers of living water, which those who believe in him should receive when he's glorified. So in that verse 39, this speaking of the Spirit. So when he says, I will give another comfort that I may abide with whatever, he's saying the same thing. In John chapter 7, he's only using different terminology. He now calls it another comforter. That is another of the same kind. In case you missed, you look at next verse. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of reality. What reality? Of me being raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, remember, this is John chapter 14. It's where Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many branches. Isn't it? If I not so, I would have told you. Verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. So, in the light of what we just saw now, what does it mean by I will go and prepare a place? I will pray the Father. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Can I say that again? Okay. How does John chapter 14 start? Look at the way Jesus started here. You believe in God, believe also in me. What does that mean? You have believed in God. How do you believe in God? You believe his word. How do you show you believe in God? Believe I'm the fulfillment of the word. So that's why I said believe also in me. Because I'm the one that fulfills the word of God in my Father's house. So in introducing Father, after I spoke about God in verse 1, he's telling you, to believe God makes you must believe his promise about his fatherhood. Can you see that now? Should I say that again? Should I say that again? Okay. Verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. You believe what? In God. Believe also in. How do you show you believe in God if you're a Jew? You believe the prophecy of the prophets. So suddenly from calling God God, he now says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. In other words, whatever God said that you are meant to believe, or which I'm a fulfillment of, is about God's promise to be a father to you. That's what you are meant to believe. Do you understand that? I see that. So, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If we're not sure, I will have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So, Jesus is taking the prophecy and the promise away from how he was, so to speak, mystified to explain that actually you can summarize everything God tried to say as Father to me. I want to father you. How does God father? He gives you Spirit. Amen. So, notice, he says, I will have told him, I go to prepare a place for you. So, what does he mean by I go to prepare a place for you? He just read verse 16 of chapter 6, 14. What does he say? I'll pray the Father. What does it mean to pray the Father? I've seen an obligation. I've filled a condition. That condition will enable the Father to give you another. So we are the same thing now. Amen. So notice, I'll pray the Father, I'll fulfill an obligation. So I'll go to pray a place, the same thing as I'll fulfill an obligation. So look at next verse, look at verse 3. We're going to run out of this now shortly. Now, and if I go now, the word if is not a condition. The word actually is and when I go, or since I will go, I'll prepare a place for you, I will come again. So if I succeed in going, then I will come again. Because the obligation is not fulfilled until I come. So what is he explaining? Death, burial, and what? Resurrection. I will come again and receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may want be also. So go back to Acts 23. Where is Jesus? That's the question. Acts 23. Let's go back to that place. Who does this one have to do with tongues now? This one. If you don't know the Genesis, of Fonan Dia, Eguse, Efradu, Yelama, Echo, see, Fedia, hashtag. A whirlpool of power has been given to you in the sun, for all authority has been given to the sun and to sons in the sun. So when you ignore the root, the genesis, your origin, even that which was supernaturally crafted and planned in Father's heart, or manifested in the Son, you will ignore power, even though you are born of power and you live in power. Alright, so he says now, notice here, he said, therefore, being, so therefore means this is the conclusion, whom God has raised up. Therefore, being, so in raising him up, what does it mean? Being by the right hand of God exalted, that is, we having received as proof of his exaltation. Are you following? As proof of his exaltation, we haven't received of the Father. Notice what he said in John chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, he will give you with what another comforter. Is that? So we now haven't received. Why did he receive? Because he has prayed to the Father. How did he pray the Father? He being by the right hand of God, that's okay. Glory to God. I'm going somewhere. Because I want you to value others. It is bigger than you think. Is bigger than you. Glory to God. You know, it's interesting. The simplest sounding things are the most powerful things when it comes to Christian things. And therefore, a lot of times, because our understanding is not fruitful in those areas. That's why we don't benefit. I mean, over 25 years ago, I read a book called Adventures in God. John G. Lee. It changed my life. My hunger for the supernatural was parted after I read that book. I read that book. I read that of Smith Wigglesworth. Today I have the compendium of their works at home. The complete works of Wigglesworth. But the first booklet I read was Adventures in God. And they said in his generation, nobody else had an understanding, a revelation of God in man like John Dillick had. And this man will stare at the mirror and be talking to the man in the mirror. God lives in that man. Himself. He literally had a scientific understanding of how God's power works. That is, he can generate bolts of healing power. He measures. He can calculate how long it will take, how much power is needed for a particular healing to occur. He was that scientific about it. This is a man who asked them to attach instruments to his head. Instruments that, so to speak, instruments that that you can use to measure intelligence, IQ. Of people, and they attacked it to his head, and they said that the instrument was rising as he chanted poems that everybody knew, literature poems. Then he said, after a while, he told them to monitor the instrument. Then he switched into psalms, and the needle went up. Then here's what happened: as he got into the prophetic psalms and started quoting other scriptures by Isaiah concerning Christ, the needle went to the end, and the instrument broke. So then he said that they have never seen that range of intelligence on earth before. So that's him, what is that? He said, that, gentlemen, is Christ at work. He said, gentlemen, that is Christ at work. You think intelligence is limited to men? What intelligence is? That, gentlemen, is Christ at work. So notice, what is he saying? What is he saying? He said, he being by the right hand of God exalted, he had shared for this. Now, I skipped that part in the middle to explain to us. He, being by the right hand of God exalted, I will pray the Father. Once I will pray the Father, I will feel an obligation. When I fulfill it, the Father will gift you with what? Another comforter, that he will abide with you forever. Why do you want another? Another of the same kind. So the difference is this. Me being exalted, my presence will not be just with you. It will be in you. Which is why it is another. It's another of the same kind. Why is it another of the same? It will not just be with, it will be in. So even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, he that knoweth him, for he dwelleth with you, but now he shall be in. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't mind going right there, because when you step out to minister, when you do tongues before you sing, when you sing in tongues, your understanding will be at the back of everything you're doing. That revelation is what releases you over to the force as a back of supernatural. Otherwise, your Christian journey will just be mumbling a few words. You are mumbling words, but you're not consciously taking hold of power. And that's what most people do, because they don't understand what it's about. What did Peter do? Peter stood up to the level. When they said, what meaneth this? And Peter began to explain. Hearken to my words. Listen to my explanation. Don't look at the phenomena. Listen to my explanation, which is the explanation is bigger than the experience. Let me say it again. The explanation is bigger than the experience. So I want you to hearken to my words. That's what Peter, that's how he started saying. These men are not drunken as you suppose, since by the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. So what was Peter's explanation? There was a prophecy spoken. It was a promise. That promise is now fulfilled. The expression of the fulfillment is what you are seeing. Hallelujah. So what enabled them to be filled and to begin to speak? It was an expression of a promise fulfilled. So what was Jesus teaching them? He taught them Joel's prophecy. He taught them Ezekiel's prophecy. He said, I will fulfill both. How will I fulfill? I will pray the Father. He will gift you with another comforter. What does it mean, pray the Father? He being by the right hand of God exalted. And we haven't received, or the comforter haven't come. He has shed forth this. So the question is it he or we that shed forth? Because look at the language. He being by the right hand of God. That is, we haven't received the stroke. Can you notice the language? He is exalted. What was supposed to be the fruit of his exaltation? Again, John 7, 39. This speaking of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet what glorified. What is the glorification? Jesus was not yet exalted to the Father's right hand, or he had not yet prayed the Father. Can you see scripture? So when he is exalted, what will be the fruit of his exaltation? The Spirit will be given. Isn't it? Who receives the Spirit? Jesus or you? What is Jesus' role in you receiving Spirit? You'll be exalted. Hallelujah. So does Jesus receive the Spirit or do you receive the Spirit? Now, this is crucial. Does Jesus speak in tongues or you speak in tongues? So now, I just give you a shortcut of how to explain to people who believe when they want to get filled with Spirit that God will make my mouth to go. The Holy Ghost doesn't receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost gives you utterance. You speak in tongues. What is supernatural about tongues? It is that utterance from the Spirit. You do the speaking. Let me say it another way that will shock you. Without you, utterance has no expression. That is why you are a new creation. Your kind has never existed before. Let me say it another way. The Holy Ghost has never seen your kind before. Until it's good. At least you are following. Luke 24:49. All right. Behold, remember this statement. I think, did I mention this on Sunday? Or Sunday before? I can't remember now. Now notice, behold, I send. Who is speaking? Jesus. Where is he standing before them? He is teaching. Remember, listen carefully again. Behold is a teaching. When you're reading Luke 24 from verse 44, it is a teaching. It is not five lines. It's not five verses. It was summarized in five verses. So behold, I send. It's not a statement. It's a teaching. Are you following? It is a teaching extracted from 40 days of teaching. So behold, I send means Jesus stood and explained what it means to behold. Because you cannot say behold to something people can see. So I'm explaining to you spiritual reality. What's reality? As you are looking, do you know what it means for Jesus to explain? See, here's what you explain to you that day. You have been with people for 3.5 years. And one of the things you've said is this. No man has ascended. Listen to what Jesus said. John chapter 3 said, no man has ascended to heaven but the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The first time I read it, I was confused. You are not in heaven, you are here. So I want to go and check it out. They got this traffic, or they made grammatical mistake. They want to say, except the Son of Man which was in heaven. No, it was. It is in heaven. Because to be born of God, it should be in the Spirit. Jesus was in the Spirit, and he was in heaven. And he was on earth. Hallelujah. No man has ascended to heaven, but the Son of Man which is in heaven. Which is, and I'm talking to you, I am in heaven. Now, Jesus is not telling you, after I spent 3.5 years, and I've changed status, I've gone to the Father. But we can see you. I've gone to the Father. Is your going not meant to be an absent? Actually, it's a presence. You will go. Yes, I'm gone. But you are here. I've come. Which was it? I've go, come. What do you mean by that? As I'm standing before you, I'm with the Father. So what was he doing? Removing their consciousness from thinking to be with the Father is a physical reality. It's a spiritual reality. So behold, I send. So I'm talking to people. Behold, I send. Why can he send? He's on high. He's exalted. He can send. But here's the problem. When he's on high and he's exalted, I'm going to take a huge step now. Just follow. He's on high and he can send. He being by the hand of God exalted. So, language. Notice. Luke 24. 25. 24, 25. Glory to God. What I'm trying to say tonight, which I trust God I will get there, Christ in you is utterance. That's what I'm doing. But I trust God to get there. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow to believe, all that the prophets have spoken. Next verse. Ought not Christ. Now, ought not means, if you've paid attention to what the prophet said, shouldn't you have come to the conclusion that according to what they said, Christ will suffer? But suffering is not the conclusion, it's the beginning. And to have suffered and to enter into his what? Glory. The word enter is the Greek word asaikomai. It means to step into a reality you have never stepped into before. That's what enter. So, what is that reality? Resurrection. What follows resurrection? Ascension. What's ascension? The Father's right hand. Now, here's the huge step I was talking about. Notice. I will pray the Father, he shall give the word another comforter, that he may what? Abide with you forever. Even the spirit of his reality. The reality of what I've accomplished. The spirit of that reality. Which the world cannot receive. So let me ask you a question. Another comforter means another of the same kind. Then he said something interesting. Go back to that John 14. Look at verse 17. Is that 17? Look at 18. See what he's about to say. If you follow closely, look at him. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Who is coming? Is it you or spirit? You say spirit. Then what about, he said, I will come to you. So who is coming, you or spirit? We are one at the same. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? The word enter means to step into a place he has never been before. Which place has he never been to before? Represented first by resurrection, ascension, by the Father's right hand, the hearts of men. God has never, ever been in the hearts of men. Where is Father's right hand? In your heart. That is why you are a new creation. Where is Jesus sitting? In your heart. That's why you are a new creation. He has never entered there before. And he can only enter there by the Spirit. So his Spirit in you is Christ in you now, the hope of glory, or the glory that was hoped for. Everyone says, also that scripture doesn't look like it's really correct. You promise it. No. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is Paul telling you that the Old Testament saints had an expectation. They were hoping for something to come to pass. Christ in you now is the glory they hoped for. You read that scripture before? Colossians 1. So Christ in you now is the glory that was hoped for, which Moses hoped for. When he says, show me your glory. That was the glory that Moses spoke for, which is Christ in you now. So Christ in you is all that the prophets were expecting to see fulfilled, which they never saw fulfilled. It is the better. It is the better. It is the best. So when you're looking at Moses part the Red Sea, Uncle Moses, Uncle Moses, Jesus walked on water. Moses took 2 million people through water. Moses spoke, the ground cleft asunder. Under Moses' ministry, pillar of cloud by day, everybody saw it. Pillar of fire by night, everybody saw it. Collective ministry. 40 years, manna, 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 manna. When they were tired, they said, we want meat. Meat came. Manna they could eat at one time. You can't find anybody in the Bible who did miracles that Moses did. Uncle Moses, what a great work. After working miracles, show me your glory. Now, see how carnal you are. When I look at what Moses, just give me small of your miracles. Moses saying, give me small of your tongues. And you know Moses won't lie. What is the testimony about God concerning Moses? For Moses was a faithful as a servant in your house. He was faithful. Concerning those things which were spoken after, Moses was a faithful servant in his own house. Concerning those things which were to be spoken after, he was faithful in all his house. For Christ has a son over his own house. Whose house we are? Whose house we are his house? Moses was never his house. Moses saw a people that would be his house. You can summarize Moses' ministry as that. Moses was asking for glory. Moses was like, this is cheating. Yeah, I'll just be saying, for people that come and enjoy. So you are looking at Moses that he walked in power. And Moses says, no, this is not power. That one is power. Utterance is power. It's more power than you can imagine. It's more power than we can imagine. Glory to God. It's only scriptures that can help our estimation. The problem is not with the power. It's with your estimation of what God has done. You need an proper estimation of what God has done by giving us utterance. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak. If it took Peter that long to explain, this is that. He's telling you, this thing you're trying to trivialize, Joel's entire ministry was based on it. This thing you're trying to trivialize, Moses' ministry is based on it. That was what he was looking for. As great as ministry was, he didn't have this and he was speaking about it. So you can't realize this. He said, hearken to my words. This is that which was spoken by the prophet God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So go back to Acts 2:3 now. So I've succeeded in telling you what Luke 24:25 means, isn't it? What does it mean again? It says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into what is glory. Where is his glory? That of men. I'll pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you. How long? Forever. Forever means one and the same with you. Don't think of forever as duration. Forever means inseparable. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The spirit is now your identity. The spirit is your identity now. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, it's none of his. You are eased by the spirit that's in you right now. You are joined to the Lord forever. That he may abide with you forever. Glory to God. That's what it means. So, if he's abiding with you forever, in only, and he knew that to be in you is better than to be physically with you. Because to be in you means he's also physically where with you, not just spiritually. So, he was physically with men in the Holy Scripture, the Old Testament, but he's now spiritually in you at the same time, he's physically present in you at the same time. He's. You can't feel him physically, but sensations can come, isn't it? Don't you feel sensation of the Spirit to show the Father's presence? Why do you feel goosebumps sometimes? Why do you feel a heaviness? Why do you feel, fall under the anointing? What's that? Glory and the presence of God in our meetings. Because it's with us all. Behold, lo, I'm with you, what? Always. So, before you go back to Acts 2, let's go back to that. Look then. Look again. Luke 24, verse 49. We're exploring that. What's that? Behold, so this is the summary of the teaching. Behold, I send the promise of my Father. What is the promise of the Father? Another comforter. We did that believe should receive, isn't it? That's the promise of the Father. So, what does it mean by the promise of Father? What the Father said he would do. When people become sons, that's the promise of the Father. So, is it to this virtue as Father? The promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you where in the city of Jerusalem until, or let me use this word, until in English language means you wait until this happens. But the word until actually means you tarry in order for this to happen. Can you see there's a difference? You wait until. So until for you will not mean stay there until God comes. But actually it's like tarry there in order for this to be reality. So there's something that will happen if you tarry. So your tarrying is not making God do anything. It's making you recognize something. Because where is that from? He says, behold, I send. Behold means it is a tarrying, is a beholding. So as you are beholding, it will dawn on you. I have spirits. I can act now. Hallelujah. The word endued means to sink into something, like a cloth. You are the one who sinks. It doesn't sink on you, you sink into it. It's present. So can I have spirit and not sink into it? Yes. Can I have spirit and not yield to it? Yes. Which is why Acts 2 says they began. That is as though tentatively they began. They laid hold of the Spirit by words. It's like people have said this many times when they get filled with the Spirit. They say things, I've heard people say things like, it was as though there were sounds coming from inside of me, and it looked as though I knew how they would sound if I said it, so I said it. How many of you had that kind of experience? That's the experience you had. It's as though I heard some sounds on the inside, and I seemed to know how they would sound if I said it, so I began to say it. And then what came out was tongues. That's the experience that I had. So that's some people, that's how they experience at home, when they began to speak. Some people had some very, very wonderful experiences that we cannot talk about when they were getting filled. But here's the issue. Behold, I sing. And he's standing in front of them. So behold cannot be natural behold. It has to be a spiritual revelation. So I'm standing in front of you, but I'm with the Father. Where am I, Father? I'm by the right hand of the Father, exalted. What does that mean? You have received the promise of the Spirit. What is next? You are to behold. By tiring. What will happen? You will sink into the reality. What does it mean to sink? To embrace reality, to understand it. Or with the fruit of it. It says, unto be endued with power, from where? From on high. What is on high? From the resurrection, from the Father's right hand, where he's seated. So let me ask again now, from everything I've said now, where's on high? Where's on high? Thank you. In your heart. Hallelujah. That is why it is wrong for you to try to make heaven. Stop trying to make heaven. Heaven came into you. Heaven came into you. Making heaven is the least of your problems. You're not to try to make heaven. He has never given anybody assignments to make heaven. He told you to preach the gospel. Then Jesus will take them to heaven. That's not your work. Your job is not to take people to heaven. No. You preach the gospel. He, the doorway to heaven. He takes them there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, behold, I send. Can you see what it means to send? So, go back to Acts now, 2. 33. When are we going to leave this Acts? So, therefore, being by the hand of God exalted and having received. So, say, we haven't received of the Father the promise of, it's even as the promised Holy Ghost. The promise of same as promised Holy Ghost. So we haven't received the promised Holy Ghost. E. So it's back to E. So notice two people there. There is the one exalted. There is we. And there is E. So he's trying to explain something very important. What happened in Acts 2:4? Which was confirmed in Acts 2:17. Which is explaining in Acts 2:33. Should I go back again? What happened in Acts 2:4? Which was prophesied in Acts 2:17. Which is explained in Acts 2:33. What happened in Acts 2:4? And they were all filled, and they began to speak. What happened in Acts 2:17? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So, then Acts 2:33. He being by the hand of the exalted, we haven't received of the Father the promised Holy Ghost. He has shed forth. So he's now saying the activity of God is now seen through men. That's why I said, he has shed forth. I thought it was men speaking. He said, yeah, he is the one shedding forth. So men speaking is supernatural utterance. Men interpreting tongues. Men prophesying, it is he who is shedding forth. Because he is at the right hand, which is why men have the spirit. If he is at the right hand, the one man can lay hold of spirit. The laying hold of spirit and expressing spirit is Christ shedding forth. If you want to look at that word shed now again, because that word, the word that was used in Acts 2:17, is that word that we say. He has shed forth this. That's the same word, Paul. Shed forth, Paul. He has shed forth this actually means to empty out. To empty out. So, Matelema, Baratiana, Susukia, Engo, Punge, Keste, Estu Savara. The light of the truth causes the heart to dance and to rejoice. And the tongue begins to rejoice in the melody of what the Savior has done. And as the tongue rejoices, the melodies by the Spirit begin to come to your heart and then to your tongue and then find expression. Your ears will pick it up and your eyes will see that which he has prepared for you. And you will see that whatever siege was laid against you will be as a vision in night, as a shadow that has no substance. Glory to God. Now, notice, it says, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Look at Acts 2:17. Let's start from 16. But this is that which was spoken. How was it spoken? Prophesied by the prophet Joel. Prophesied. It shall come to pass that in the last days. What's the last days? In the resurrection. Said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. How will you pour out? He being by the hand of God exalted. We haven't received of the Father the promise. How will you pour out? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
So the word pour out means to empty out. If you're going to empty out, it must already be in, which is why you are emptying out. Then Peter uses a word that Joel didn't use. Joel said, I will pour out my spirit. Actually, Joel's prophet says, then will my spirit be poured out. But Peter said, I'll pour out of. He added the word of. It makes a lot of difference. Peter said, then I'll pour out of my spirit. So it means the spirit is inside the sons and daughters when they are prophesying. God is pouring out of. Glory to God. Are you seeing it now? So Peter added that to Joel's prophecy to explain what Joel did not say. What did he say? Joel didn't say anything to you about the new birth. The new birth is men having the spirit. And because they have the spirit, they can pour out of the spirit. Why did they pour out? They will prophesy. But what were they doing in Acts 2:4? They were filled and they began to speak the word God had taught. Let me say this way. You can never, not that you can never, you should not come to a believer's meeting. Want to minister to a believer and say, I don't know what to say. That's wrong. That's your natural mind speaking. But you're not a natural mind. Say, I'm not a natural mind. I'm a spiritual mind. Now we have received, not the spirit of this world that makes us say we don't have. We have received the gift that is given, which is the Holy Ghost. If Jesus by the Father's right hand, the promise of the age is fulfilled, then everything that humanity needs is in that promise fulfilled. What are you meant to say? You are to act on the authority of scriptures, not on your feelings. How will you sometimes feel like you have? Sometimes like you don't have. What are you meant to follow? The authority of God's word, which is consistent and faithful. Glory to God. So what are you meant to do? That's why 1 Corinthians 14, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you, speaking with what? Tongues. So, when I come to you, how should I come? Speaking with tongues. Do I have tongues? Yes. What is my problem? I don't know. That tongues is a way of ministry, whatever the Spirit wants to minister. So, what am I sure I have? I don't have tongues. How do I lay hold on what the Spirit wants to say? I start with tongues. How do I come to a fellow believer? I come with tongues. So if I stay on my own and I'm not doing tongues, and I say I don't have, that is why I think I don't have, because I'm not doing tongues. Because tongues is how I assess what I have. Hallelujah. What did they do on the first God? They were a few, that is the began. How did they begin? Tongues. Peter, what are you going to do? I don't know yet. How will you know? I will do tongues. What was in Peter's tongues? Revelation. What was the tongue? Doctrine. And then teaching. So Peter, how do you know what you will do? I will know when I do tongues. I will plumb the depth of the spirit by doing tongues. What does that mean? It's a river and a stream that flows. When I start out in tongues, whatever I need to do, I will know when I start out. So he says, if I come unto you speaking, if I come speaking, what will I come speaking with? Tongues. What shall I profit you? So there's profiting to be given to you or for you to enjoy if I come speaking, but I have to come speaking. How will I come speaking? Tongues. How did they begin? They began. What did the people that saw them on the open door say? What we need this? Another group said that these people are full of new wine. So obviously there were activities there that showed that they were drunk or under influence. Where did they begin? They began with tongues. So they laid hold of the spirit that Jesus said you'll be endued with power. That was power. They were laying hold of by speaking. Now again, how did they begin? They spoke. What did Jesus speak to them about? He spoke about power. So their speaking was laying hold of power. So when you see people doing tongues, they are laying over power. It will give you a new perception of tongues. You notice in these believers' meetings that the instructions that have come in those meetings, at least the ones I give, have you noticed they come by tongues interpretation? Have you noticed? Now, sometimes I do tongues and I see what is going on or what the Lord wants to do. So I give a word of knowledge followed by a word of wisdom. Sometimes a word comes from and I lay hands. Then a word comes from now. All the other gifts are accessible as long as a man comes to you speaking. Why? It is the easiest way to lay hold of power, because tongues is power. Tongues is power. Glory to God. Say tongues is power. Say I lay hold on power consciously. Tongues is power. You are not just saying whatever you want to say. You are laying hold. It is a supernatural. And I said something at the beginning that you must never forget. I said, he has shed for this. Why does he use that phrase? I thought it was men speaking. No, he said, he has shed for. So when men are speaking in tongues, which is the ability of the spirit at work, because he spoke as the Spirit gave utterance. It is a synergy. It's a cooperation. A cooperation that doesn't happen until those who have the Spirit yield to the Spirit. So how do we know God wants to pour out? It is when we see men prophesying, we know God is pouring out. That God wants to pour out is not a sensation. It's a reality men yielding to the Spirit. Because every time men do tongues plus interpretation, God is pouring out. What's pouring out? Power. His Spirit upon our flesh. Glory to God. It is men laying hold on that power and expressing it. So again, as they began, as the Spirit gave utterance. So without you, we won't know what utterance, because utterance will not find expression. So you are a new creation. So whatever the Spirit wants to bring into the earth, he does it through those who have the ability to express it. I know without God we can't, but without us, he won't. He's one made it that way. We are not the ones. Without him, notice where I put it though. Without him, we can't. Without us, he won't. He's limited himself. So God will not speak out of thin air. Yeah, my son, and then the voice is just coming from heaven. Yeah, you know the way have you seen all those Old Testament films? A light does shine from the middle of the sky. And then the voice came down. The only time, this is the only time those things happen that way, I can assure you, the person that was speaking was an angel. Otherwise, you hear, Abraham was a prophet, giving to visions and what revelation. So God can speak to him in the vision of revelation. It's not that baritone. It's never, the voice is never soprano. It's never, never tune. It was my son. The ground on which thou standest is holy. You didn't ask me in KJV. Yeah, the God that speaks in KJV, because the God has to use down, he must know. That's how he speaks. And then some of us don't want to hear God speak today. Because of that KJV, you are still waiting for God to say that. Oh, thou knowest. And imagine God speaking to somebody in Mushi like that. Will you listen? Somebody in Mushi, God is like to say, pardon me. That's not the person who understands. The thing is not saying, Jonathan, how many times callest I you? You will just run. When the person hears, pardon me, he will respond. Paul said, the Lord spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue. That is the head God. Jesus speaking, he heard it in the Hebrew tongue. That's how he heard it. Hallelujah. And Paul understood what it was being said. So it's important to see, I want you to see the synergy. He being by the right hand of God, we haven't received. He has shed forth. It's a cooperation. So when a man is speaking in tongues, he is seeing Jesus at the right hand of God exalted. Every good thing represented by that right hand is in tongues. And it's available in tongues. So if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you by what? Thank you for that scripture. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 6. Notice, except I shall speak to you either by what? Revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by what? Doctrine. So some of us who are thinking that, when I get to Ramati, what will I say? If I come to you speaking with tongues, the revelation, I'm hoping I will share with him. The prophecy, I'm hoping I will share with him. The instruction, I'm hoping I will share with him, is in the tongues I'm going to come speaking. The tongues hands me over to the instruction. Because he has already said in verse 5, look at verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Notice, rather doesn't mean prophesy instead of doing tongues. No. Again, a translation issue. The word rather doesn't mean the rather we have in English. Again, you follow the language. What's the language? I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather. The word rather means in order that you may prophesy. So I want all of you to do tongues with an end in mind. What's that end? Prophecy. So when you are doing tongues, when it comes to the assembly of the saints, do tongues with something in mind, a goal. What's the goal? That you may prophesy. That is, you may. Now, notice what this is. What is prophecy? For greater is he that prophesies. The word greater means he has done a better work He has reached the conclusion. He has followed up with what is meant to follow tongues. He has given you the conclusion that tongues is meant to make you arrive at. He says, for greater is it that prophesy than he that speak with tongues, except he interpret. So interpretation is what you follow tongues for it to be prophecy. Hallelujah. Can you see that? And if you say rather, which is in order, it means the person who is doing the tongues has his ability to interpret what he's saying. He may not choose to do so or not to do so. So Paul is now telling you, you should desire to do that. When you start out, have the conclusion in mind, which is to profit men. If I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you? So if I come with tongues, inside my tongues is profit. But it will not be profitable to you if I keep it at tongues level. So I must unravel what the tongue contains by giving interpretation. Hallelujah. How does Paul define it? Because he's working with Lord. Imagine all the tongues I speak when I'm teaching. I just say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, oh, thank you. Shabba-ba-ba-ba. I didn't even know how to do tongues like that. Thank you, Lord. So as we're saying, you say, ah. See, we are teaching us. Why are you? You are teaching. You spoke. What is it? Your private devotion? No. What did I profit you? I just swallow everything. I just say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I need some good that will come and meet us service. Even you are not doing well. So, so if I come to you, wopan yes, that I must took a lie, bish, that I see so bad, that. And you are Katia, may you want to shit, and stroma, afroni, as sutayatia. There's much opposition. Much. I haven't mounted for about 3.5 years. Strong. But the end is near. The end is near. The end is near. Do not falter. Do not stumble. The end is near. Victory is already yours. Yes, in February, you receive victory. By what? Now stay with it. Run with it. Hold on steadfastly to it. Declare it that the enemy can do nothing but relinquish every hold he has. Ah, you know what the Lord is talking about? Yeah. Victory is sure. It has been given already. It has been handed over. You are not going to receive it. You have received it already. Now run with it. Run with it. All the doors are open and resources come. Resources come. Glory to God. Man Reduka, yeah? Estro. Cheated. I don't know what that means. Cheated. Out of a particular benefit. Cheated. But you choose not to walk in strife. You choose not to walk in strife. You could have gone the way of the flesh, but you choose not to. I will compensate you. Said the Spirit of God. I will compensate you. I will reward you. For standing upon my word, I will reward you. And when the reward comes, you'll be so glad you didn't struggle for that which was taken. You'll be so glad. You'll be so glad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, somebody says, Pastor, why did that happen? Because of this that scripture. It's a demonstration of that scripture. If I come to you speaking with tongues, I was trying to explain that, so the Spirit of God decided to give you a demonstration. Incidentally, I can go to everybody tonight and do the same. I can. Only will not live here. I can. Yeah. Somebody says, is it going to take extra effort? Yeah, don't take me extra effort. I'm not the owner of tongues. What is my own to speak it? When I'm speaking, what the Bible says? He is shedding forth. So when I'm opening my mouth, I'm just allowing the minister to flow through the minister. If only on yours, that's what I just said now. There is the minister that you cannot see. There is a minister you can see. The greater is the minister you cannot see. So I, the lesser, I allow the greater to find expression through me. So since he's the greater, he's the one who confirms his word. I can't confirm nothing. So why should I be afraid to allow the minister to minister his ability through me? I'm just a vessel for him to minister. And he can fail. So I am stopping other believers from enjoying the benefit of what the minister wants to do in their lives when I shut my mouth. Because revelation, prophesying, instruction is what the minister wants to minister to his own. Because he is in the spirit as we are in the spirit. And the minister to his own. So you are the vessel for the minister to minister to other people. So you are to allow or you are to ensure that you do not stifle the minister for ministering to his own people through you. By coming speaking with tongues, overcome the fear Or what will I say? You can speak tongues. Overcome the fear. How will I handle it? Open your mouth and it will point things inside of it. And things will flow out of you readily and freely. And you'll be amazed because it flows through you. You will be refreshed and blessed at the same time also, being a conduit of the blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I come pony and not see, brother, that's too glad. You've had that tough times are coming. And it's good to prepare. But prepare more with thanksgiving. Prepare more with rejoicing. Prepare more declaring provisions come my way supernaturally. Prepare more by saying, I will not be stranded, I will not be forsaken. I will not be caught without. Abundance is mine. Prepare more that way. And as you prepare more that way, you will find that ever more than before, the angels will bring around supernatural connections and supernatural provisions and supernatural assistance and sources you never dreamed of will be made available for your benefit and to sustain you throughout the period of the drought. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's how to prepare. You prepare with thanksgiving and rejoicing. You prepare with praise. You prepare with confession. That confession is your praise. That confession is your praise. You'll not lack any good thing. Abundance is yours. Abundance is yours. Abundance is yours. Abundance is yours. Abundance is mine in this season. So now, brethren, if I come to you speaking, that's the secret. That's the secret. So we have instructions because there are things the minister always wants to minister through every yielded minister. He has shed forth this. And what he has shed forth is you and I ministering one to another. That is how we see what he has shed forth. It is he pointing out the spirit how his sons and daughters will profess her. Glory to God. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. It is consistent through our scriptures. In Acts chapter 4, from verse 23, they pray the prayer that God will stretch forth his hands to heal and the signs and wonders will wrought. In Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles, of any signs and wonders wrought. What did they pray? That God shake out his hands. What did they see in Acts 5:12? And by the hands of the apostles. So the hands of God are the hands of men. That's a fundamental principle. The hands of God are the hands of men. He shed forth. He manifest through us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you for instructions and directions. Thank you for your mighty ability that puts us over. Thank you because we're not afraid. We're not stranded. No matter what comes on the horizon, there's abundance provision for us. There's abundant provision for us. We always know what to do. We are never stranded because you have opened unto us a door of resources, a door of escape, a door that nothing on the earth can stop. A door that will never be closed. We give you praise. We exalt you. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' precious name.